Hello, ladies and gentlemen. This is Ball Not Court podcast host Cortez Paul, along with my co-host Kevin Carter. I want to thank you folks for tuning in today and listening to the show. Basically, we cover basketball, football, NCAA, or anything that's related to current events with a humorous twist to it, at least. You can follow the podcast at BIOC Podcast at X or Twitter. We're also on Instagram at the same name, BIOC Podcast. And you go to our YouTube channel. That's also BIOC Podcast. Our Facebook page is Balls Not Court Podcast. So if you could please just give us a like, shout, comment on any of those, and definitely subscribe to our YouTube channel. And we thank you for listening and enjoy the show. Balls Not Court Podcast. Thank you very much. Welcome to the Balls Not Court podcast. Cortez Paul is here. Mr. Paul Mack is joining me as well. Mr. Mack, how are you doing on this fine Tuesday evening, sir?
Giants stink, man. That's all it is to tell you.
All that money
gone. Daniel Jones blew out his ACL. Not that it mattered, but here we are.
I tell you what, that's just... The Raiders, for some odd reason, celebrating smoking cigars in the locker room for being the third-string quarterback. But that's just what the Raiders do, I guess. They celebrate being a third-string quarterback. Maybe it was because Josh McDaniels gone. The stink of him walking around our locker room is gone,
maybe just,
too.
Maybe so. It's the Antonio Pierce swag that they got now.
Oh, man. Smoking cigars, man. Never change, Raiders. Never change.
Stay the same.
Good stuff. Yeah, fun sports week. Basketball is back in full effect. I've been to a few Magic games, and as this team is usually driving me crazy up and down, but young team, but they defeat the Lakers by a good margin and turn around.
I saw that. You were doing the LeBron tour over there, huh? You were showing them around the city beautiful or what?
Oh man, it was beautiful, man. It was beautiful. And then, you know, seeing all the Lakers fan that was packing purple and going there. And oddly enough, Lakers fans are not that bad. Like, they're not as annoying as other team fans, like, you know, the Celtics or the Knicks or the Heat fans. Mm-hmm. They was actually cool. I guess the ones that was in attendance, but I guess when you're getting beat by 15, it's not really
I think a lot of that, though, I've learned is, like, LeBron just has fans now. So, like, there are literally people who they don't give two shits about the Lakers. They just... like whoever LeBron plays for. And I think that's become a thing. I used to work with a guy who's like, oh, I like LeBron. So whoever LeBron plays for, I'm gonna root for that guy. I'm like, hey man, whatever works for you, I guess. But
you know what's funny that you mentioned that? As my indicator came to that, I forgot to have my charger in. Oops. Sorry. Podcast gonna record and we're gonna have a halfway cut through podcast.
Wardrobe not functioning.
No. Yeah. But it's funny that you mentioned that, because as soon as LeBron went on the bench, like, I want to say about 35 left. Like, where y'all going? LeBron's on the bench, so I don't want to stick around.
Yeah, man, that's why it's just a weird dynamic, like this whole LeBron thing. I don't get it either. Like, basketball is apparently a sport now where you can just have a favorite guy. You don't have to have a favorite team, which is just. I think the NBA did it to themselves with this whole, you know, it's a superstar driven league and all that stuff. But it's just a weird dynamic, man, that people could love the Heat and then LeBron leaves the Heat and then they just love wherever LeBron goes. And it's just whatever, man. But yeah, your Magic played a tough one last night, man. They were winning that game a majority of that way through there.
Paul, this is driving me nuts about the Magic. They are horrific in third quarters, and they have like a negative 34-point margin in the third quarter, so they just tend to blow it up there. And this team just doesn't stay healthy, so we're missing four pieces. That don't matter. The Dallas Mavericks came off a back-to-back against the Hornets. It was a close game, so it was there for the taking. So now I'm upset because now they're going to Mexico City, which is considered a home game for us, so I lose a home game. Are you kidding me? I pay for my tickets, and I pay my season tickets, and that's considered a home game?
Who are they playing in Mexico City? The Hawks?
Playing the Hawks at 9:30.
That's a weird game for Mexico City. Magic Hawks?
Magic Hawks, yeah. Hmm. And it's on NBA TV. It's not even on national TV. So it's just like, okay, we'll just...
You wouldn't just send like a Mexico City. You wouldn't send like a Texas team to Mexico? Like you wouldn't...
Yeah, two teams that's from Florida and Georgia. Doesn't make sense.
Sounds Mexico to me.
San Antonio, Houston would probably have been perfect for that. I'm just... Oklahoma City, too.
Only tacos in Orlando are Gringos Locos.
Good stuff, man. Well, hey, let's get into it, man. We got another football weekend that was just still crazy. Still crazy, man. But let's hop into the first topic, man. I know we've been talking about Cincinnati Bengals. Here they come. They are streaking. They're looking good, man. So let's talk about Joe Burrow and the rest of the Bengals' performance against the Bills. It was in prime time. They won 24-18. Your thoughts about the Bengals? And I know you've been on this show, Admin, about their slow starts. Talk about it, man.
I feel like this was inevitable. I feel like with Joe Burrow, it was whether they sat him out or let him work through his injuries or whatever, it was inevitable that come week 7, week 8, week 9, they're going to do what the Bengals have done the last couple years, and they're going to get hot at the right time. They're going to figure things out. They have great coaching, great players. And I mean, I don't know if this game was more of Cincinnati or if I think the window for Buffalo has closed. I think that they had their chance the last like 3 years and they couldn't get there. And now the rest of the league's kind of catching up to them. And I think that says more about Buffalo. You know, they're turning into one of those teams like the Dolphins that we talk about every week where they play against these good teams and they just come up short almost every single time. And they got 4 losses. Obviously, one was to Jacksonville. One is to Cincinnati. You know, they're losing to these teams that when someone plays them that can punch them in the mouth, they're not responding the way they were a few years ago. And I don't know if it's a chemistry thing. I don't know if it's a Josh Allen thing. But I expect Cincinnati to be kind of getting this way when the season started. It'll be interesting now because they still got to play the Ravens again and all that stuff. So we're going to see how that is now that they're kind of healthier and, you know, everything's kind of clicking for them. But, I mean, Joe Burrow looking like Joe Burrow, 348, 2 touchdowns, no turnovers. You know, T. Higgins finally showed up, 110 receiving yards. I mean, Jamar Chase did pretty much nothing. He only had 41 yards receiving off 4 catches. So, I mean, Joe Burrow spread the ball around. They had, 8 guys with a reception. So, I mean, when you're doing that, I mean, what are you going to do? So, you know, it's interesting to see where the Bengals are going to go because they're still in the thick of it. And obviously having to play Baltimore again, that'd be interesting to see who, you know, can close it out for that AFC North. I mean, shit, all the teams in the AFC North right now are pretty decent records. Yeah, pretty decent records. So they also got to play each other another you know, go around through. So that'll kind of separate them from each other. But I'm here to watch the Bengals make some noise.
Yeah, so, Paul, you was on the sun the last few weeks about the Bengals, how they have these slow starts. You and Kevin been very adamant about that. So I want to do a deep dive on this team when I start kind of doing my research on the Bengals. So last 3 years, at least around week 10, here's their record. So obviously right now they're 5-4. The year before in
2020. They're 5-3 right now, the Bengals.
Yeah, 5-3. Mm-hmm.
21, they was 2-5-1. And then the prior year, or the year before, that's why I got my year mixed up. 2 years before that, they was 5-4. Mm-hmm. And then right there, 5-3. So it's just, you just kind of worry about Joe Burrow because we was worried about his calf strength. And you just fear for the worst because this is where we saw a lot of injuries recently, calf strains. Well, a la Aaron Rodgers, calf strain turned to, something more major. Could be possibly Achilles. So you just kind of worry about why they still playing this guy if he's not looking right. But you touched it. Joe Burrow is looking fantastic. He's doing all this. And also during this game, he had a bloody index finger too. He was playing through that, which is absolutely nuts. Defense is coming right along, though. They have 19 interceptions, which is second best in the NFL. So very hard to pretty much pass the ball on. And after a slow start, entering week 9, I mean, they was ranked 27 yards allowed. So they kind of been picking up on that. So Bengals are clicking at the right time. They also are playing a tough division where all teams that we mentioned are playoff eligible right now. So this ain't the last few years, Bengals, where you catch some of these teams slipping. All these teams are tough in their division. So it's just a gauntlet. We thought that the AFC East was going to be the gauntlet, but it seemed like it's the North that is the bloodbath over there. But now the Bengals are looking fantastic right now. We'll see if it continues. It has in the past seemed like their resume the past 3 years seemed like that is something that they do, and they play through these slow starts. But I think the interceptions where they definitely can get their hands on the balls reflect well on them. You can slow down a lot of these teams that's got the passing attack now and living out the perimeter, and you're so far leading or second in leading interceptions that say that you got some balls on your team for sure.
Well, that's the interesting thing too, is we were all just talking about how bad Joe Burrow looked early on in the year. He still got 12 touchdowns, 4 picks. So he's still playing really good football to be in a lot of games and to win a lot of games. Obviously the yards aren't there. He only has 1,800 passing yards, but I mean, he's averaging like 6 yards of completion, but I mean, he's doing what he has to do. Looks like he's taken less sacks. I mean, I think he's on pace. Considering how much he got hit those first like 3 weeks, only been sacked 18 times. So he's moving a little bit better these last 2 or 3 weeks. Bengals are rolling. It'd be interesting for sure, because on the flip side to that, you got someone like Josh Allen, who again, another interception. Not ideal. For some reason, NFL.com wants to give me the Josh Allen for the Jacksonville Jaguars. That's not gonna work. But either way, I mean, he's turning the ball over too much.
I think they say he lead interceptions over.
Yeah, like so. It's just the opposite. Time
for him, but
Yeah, so just as explosive as they can be. I mean, somebody kind of his one of his fail safes is a Gabe Davis, and Gabe Davis didn't even have a catch against the Cincinnati Bengals. Now that might speak volumes on the Bengals defense, but the leading receiver for the Buffalo Bills was Dalton Kincaid, who I think is the tight end. So yep, I mean, they weren't giving up a lot of big balls. I mean, Stephon Diggs had 86 yards and a touchdown, but he's going to get that. I don't think there's anything he can really do about it. But they didn't let anybody else hurt him. And, I mean, it's like we say with most of these games, Josh Allen was the leading rusher for the Buffalo Bills. I feel like a lot of times if your quarterback leads your team in rushing yards, you're not controlling the clock. You're not keeping the defense on the field. And these things show, man. Like, Buffalo's defense isn't as good as it used to be, but there's a lot of chinks in the armor in Buffalo, and them at 5-4. It's gonna be an interesting second half of the year to see how they can get it, because they're potentially looking at a wild card situation if Miami doesn't slow down, and it'll be interesting because obviously playing playoff games in Buffalo is different than Buffalo having to go somewhere else to play. And it's a huge advantage for them, I think, in the early rounds of the postseason. So we'll see. I mean, Miami again, proved again that they can't beat anybody good. So we'll see what happens there. They could potentially catch Miami. But I just think they're falling behind now. I think their window is closing. I think they had their opportunities the last couple of years to really make some noise. And they haven't done a lot of moves or a lot of things to improve. And I think it's catching up to them a little bit.
That division, we'll touch on Miami a little bit later. But, you know, with them still trying to find the big resume win, and Buffalo is going through this whatever they're going through, that division is still wide open. So no team is really blowing it out the way. And then, of course, the Jets are they're pretty much going to come back down to earth on the high of, you know, Aaron Rodgers. But then there's some kind of clip on Twitter talking about, I guess Aaron Rodgers will be back sometime this season, which I'm finding that hard to believe.
And then that's what he's telling people. I don't know, man. That's what he's telling people.
Yeah, man. He's nuts, man. I would be stunned if this dude come back anytime soon during the year. I get it. You know, technology and medical technology has far advanced where he had been even in the past 4 or 5 years. And if he can do that, I would be stunned. But nonetheless, it's, we thought that division would be more competitive than what it was, and it's not. So Buffalo still had their chances to take that division amidst all the disarray that they're going through. Von Miller could step slow, too. I know he's older. He's putting pressure on the quarterback, but he doesn't have I know he's come off another injury, and it's an ACL injury, but he just – that burst that he used to have. I mean, listen, he's older, and another injury like that, I mean, you can't be superhuman forever. I don't know, man. It's interesting to see the contrast of these teams where initially we was beginning of the season talking about Buffalo being like, oh, man, you know, they're still trying to figure out, but what they're doing, they look good. And Cincinnati, like, ooh, they're struggling right now. So we have to monitor both of these team progress going forward. So talking about the game of the week last week or this weekend that happened, I know everybody was pinning this on, the Cowboys and the Eagles had a fun NFC East showdown. You get a chance to watch some of these games, get some of the highlights. Tell me some of this game, man, whatever you call it a little bit.
Yeah, man, I caught the latter, like the end of the game. Philly was up. Dallas is coming back on them. And honestly, I looked at it, and that's the best game you're going to possibly get out of Dak Prescott. I don't think he can play better than that. 374, three touchdowns. CeeDee Lamb had almost 200 yards receiving. And you still come up short. That's the scary part. Is Dak Prescott played the absolute best Dak Prescott can play, and it still wasn't good enough. Jalen Hurts played okay, 17-23, 207, two touchdowns. They ran the ball really well. They ran for over 100 yards as a team, almost 120 yards as a team, but. Yeah, man, it's crazy because Dallas' defense was so good earlier in the year. And I just feel like if they're playing games where they have to try to outscore you and you could put up 28, 30, 30 points on them, it's tough because typically Dak can, you know, make that interception or have that fumble or whatever. And he played flawless. Like, kudos to Dak Prescott. That is the absolute best game I've ever seen Dak Prescott play. And, you know, they still came up short, so. Well, they'll see each other again, you know, and then obviously they'll probably see each other in the postseason. I'd imagine Dallas, you know, they'll meet in the playoffs probably. But for Philly, it's just the fact that you look at them on paper and the stats for Dallas just jump out right at you. Like, just how many yards Dak passed for, how many yards CeeDee Lamb had. All these numbers just jump out at you, and Jalen Hurts just kind of managed the game. Didn't have any turnovers. You know, A.J. Brown did his thing. Devontae Smith did his thing. And they still won by 5. So, if you're Dallas, I think this is one of those games where even though it was a loss, it's still kind of a win because you can see what the offense's potential is. But Philly's just rolling, man. And their offense is explosive. And if they get a lead on you, their defense is coming around a little bit. They're making some plays, but it was interesting for sure because Philly at the beginning of the game, I thought Philly was going to roll them, and then Dallas just kept fighting. And I was, you know, to see the Cowboys have that kind of fight, it was cool to see in a big game. And I know this was circled on our calendars at the beginning of the year that this is potentially Philly's big, like, true test out of their first, like, you know, nine games. Wasn't going to be until week nine against Dallas.
Yeah.
But you know, Eagles did what they're supposed to do. They're 8-1. They won the games they're supposed to win. And, you know, here they are. Still, you know, still with a two-game lead in the division. And, yeah, so, I mean, it'll be interesting to see him play again. But we'll see what happens.
So the Eagles, man, they've been winning these games ugly. And they're still winning the games ugly. They're 8-1 because of it. And this is only going to help you when you go into the playoffs because games are played different over there. The way is you got to include weather. It's colder around this time of year. So there's a lot of elements to this that for them, I know we kind of – I know at least I did. I harped on them like, man, these are – Philly is supposed to definitely be this dominant team and they're supposed to blow it, you know, some of these teams out of war. I think they did this one time, but the rest of the games have been kind of like close. And I think this honestly is going to help them in the long run, you know, when they make that postseason run. As you mentioned, Jalen Hurts' stat doesn't pop off the sheet. He's looking more comfortable as the week has gone by. And, you know, he had a real nice pass to Devontae Smith in the third quarter. That's probably one of the best things throws that I've seen in a while. Football's a game of inches, man. Like, it's just crazy because Dak Prescott, two-point conversion, just a foot hair out of bounds. And that could have tied the game. That could have definitely put them up pretty much instead of them needing a field goal.
Yeah, it changes that last play of the game, that Hail Mary kind of to the 1 yard line or whatever it was. But yeah,
changes things a lot. Yeah, man. So with that, also Swift's fumble, they didn't recover that, couldn't recover that. So there's a lot of opportunities that Dallas could have took over. A lot of penalty calls too near the end of the game that was kind of, I ain't blaming the refs. No, it's you can control your own situation by some of these things that's happened before, what happened, whatnot. But you don't want to talk about more victories, but you know, Dallas should be encouraged that they was in the game on the road against a hostile Philly crowd. This is a division rival. A lot of takeaway. You just mentioned how Dak performed. He looked fantastic. So, and it made me wonder, man, do you see this being a potential NFC championship matchup? Depends how they align.
I don't know, man. Dallas in the postseason, just, you know what I mean? I don't know. It'd be interesting. I mean, the NFC is kind of, you know, the Wild West. Whatever happens, happens. I don't think there's really like a, aside from Philly, I don't think anyone really has a straight contender to come out of the NFC. I mean, Detroit's looking really well. They're coming off of a bye, so we'll see how they roll going forward. But aside from Philly, I don't know if anyone really stands out as like a Super Bowl contender in the NFC. And
yeah,
you just look at a game like this, and if you look at the stat sheet, 406 yards of total offense for the Cowboys, and they lost by five. I mean, that's Philly had 292 total yards. Dallas outgained them by over 100 yards. You know, the one lost fumble Dallas had potentially is the difference. But I mean, Dak was sacked five times. Jalen Hurts was only sacked three. Philly was able to run the ball, so they really controlled time of possession. Even then, it was only a difference of like a minute. Time position was dead even, 29 minutes to 38 to 30 minutes for Philly. They each had 10 penalties. I mean, on paper, this, like, if you look at the bottom half of the stats, you'd think it was a close game. But if you look at the actual, like, team stats, you would think Dallas thumped them just by how much they gained, how many yards they had. And to only have 23 points off of 406 total yards of offense is kind of wild to me.
Yeah. No, for sure. I think it could be a potential. I mean, I know we can do a bunch of coulda, woulda, shouldas, but the NFC is just, like you said, just one dominant team. We thought 49ers was it, but they're going through their issues right now with their team, and we're trying to still figure them out as they get deeper into the season. They have the talent to make the run. Don't get me wrong. I think 49ers can figure it out. It's better for them to struggle now and, you know, instead of getting to later where they get to the postseason, they start struggling. So, figure it out now and try to get back on ballpoint because you was up there with Philly as the class of the NFC. And now, as Paul has mentioned, it's the Troys of the world are there competing. And then, you know, Dallas can still be a viable wild card. You know, I know they had issues in the postseason, but they still be a tough team to play against. Philly is just grind these games out, so they have the depth on the defensive line and linebackers to definitely wear you out from your offense getting to, you know, the standpoint of getting into the groove. So NFC is besides Philly, it's definitely just wide open, man. It's wide open for sure. All right. I always try to Miami Dolphins, Paul. This is a team that I know they play in the morning. They went to Germany and they lost 21-14 to the Chiefs. I am the Miami Dolphins are so freaking talented, and I'm still just trying to figure them out. And I just don't have an answer to what this team is. They got a talented offense, but talk to me, man. Talk to me about the Miami Dolphins.
Another game, man. You look at it on paper, it was a coin flip, 50-50 coin flip. It wasn't a pretty game by either team. I mean, it was pretty sluggish for the most part. Miami started off real slow. I mean, obviously they got down at a 21-0 deficit at halftime. That's not going to exactly help you very much. Tua played okay. Obviously, you know, he bad snap to end the game. You hate to see that. That's never what you want to see, but they just don't seem as dynamic as they did, you know, 3 weeks ago. Obviously, you know, Achane going down, that was huge. That was a nice little kind of two-headed monster they had in the backfield. I mean, Jalen Waddle was their second leading rusher and dude's a wide receiver. He had one carry for 12 yards. Mostert did his part. I mean, he ran for 85. But they just can't control the clock like they were doing in those first like 4 weeks of the season where they were their balance on offense was very, you know, 50-50 run pass. They were just making, you know, big plays, big passes. The running backs were breaking big runs. So it's kind of that whole thing of that offense isn't sustainable. And they're a team where when they get down, I don't know if they have the ability to catch up. Obviously, playing with a lead, they're fine. They're going to just get a lead on you. They're going to outscore you. And then you have to catch up to them, and it's a different story. But I think if they get down early, I think there's still a lot to learn about the Miami Dolphins because Kansas City didn't play great in the second half. They didn't score at all in the second half. And Miami still couldn't get them. And just another case of Miami going up against a team that's potentially better than them. They have a chance to put some separation in the division, and they dropped the bag, man. It's, you know, we thought maybe Tyreek Hill would have a big game against his former team. He did okay. 8 catches, 62 yards, but no touchdowns. Yeah, man, the Miami Dolphins, they're that whole, you know, enigma wrapped in a conundrum, wrapped in a whatever it is. I'm just trying to figure out who these guys are. I know they're going to be on the midseason Hard Knocks on HBO or Amazon or wherever that's going to be on. Mm-hmm. It'll be interesting to kind of follow that team and be in the locker room for games like this. I want to see how that team handles games like this because, you know, we're going to keep talking about how they put up 70 points on the Denver Broncos, but the Denver Broncos beat the Kansas City Chiefs. So, you know, it's weird. Yeah. It's just weird. And I think it's just a classic case of if we're better than you, we're not worried about it. We're just going to out-talent you on the field. And then when they play against a team that's equal to or potentially better than them, this is the game you get. So it's interesting. They're only a game up on Buffalo.
Yeah.
As bad as Buffalo is, they're only a game up on Buffalo.
Yeah, yeah. I tell you that. Dolphins are, I right now you can just call it what it is, man. Like this is a regular season football team. This is what it leans to until they really start beating some of these teams that are, you know, supposed to be contention team, playoff teams that are basically a winning record. So they're 0-3 against winning teams. They came back, but they did come back in this one. I give them credit. They didn't really suck in, but this is a team that usually average about 19 points in the first half. They was held to 0 points for the first 40 minutes. Steve Spagnuolo is one of those geniuses that can speed up your offense. And that would have looked like to me. I feel like he sped the Dolphins even more. Even though the Dolphins play fast, you are sending different kind of blitzes from the left side, from the right side. You got a cornerback that can blitz. You got multiple guys that blitzing from one side. Steve Spagnuolo is popular for doing that. So while Tua still played great, you know, and they sped him up, it wasn't enough. Some of these big pop plays they wasn't getting until later into the game. Miami Dolphins need a big one. They need a big one on their resume. You know, this is as we talk about the AFC, you mentioned they're leading the AFC East with a 6-3 record. Buffalo is disappearing or whatever they're doing, and the Jets and the Pats. I mean, we had this discussion just not too long earlier in the podcast about the AFC East. So this is the type of games you need, because you see Buffalo's rearing. Miami should be putting their foot on this division, and they're not doing it. And that's the problem. They need to win some of these big games and really take their stamp of the division, because they can definitely win this division. It's up there for the grabs. You got to start winning some of these big games for more people to take you seriously. Yeah, it's cool, man. You got a great offense. You can get points. It's entertaining. But during the playoffs, man, most of the time, ugly football wins games. Can y'all win an ugly game? I have yet to see that from Miami against winning teams. So, all right. Let's talk about CJ Stroud, his historic day. Just come back against the Buccaneers, man. Like,
have talk a to day, me about CJ. Pal. Have a day, bub. Oh, man.
This dude was 30 of 42. 470 yards, 5 touchdowns, had a passer rating of 147.8. And Houston got one, man. They got one. I know there's a lot of questions about, you know, the draft and as far as who they drafted and why they drafted him there. I can tell you what, man, is CJ Stroud has really the outlook of Houston Texans is improved solely because of this pick, man.
I mean, there's not a tremendous amount of talent around him either, and that's the crazy part. I know, you know, you're gonna go over it a little bit later, but this guy's stats on the season as a rookie: almost 2,300 yards passing, averaging 8.1 yards per completion, 14 touchdowns, 1 interception. That is unheard of. Numbers coming out of any quarterback, never mind a rookie quarterback, for the Houston Texans. Somebody who's got Devin Singletary as his running back. You know, Dalton Schultz is his tight end. Noah Brown is his leading wide receiver. Like, you couldn't name these guys in a lineup if they were standing right in front of you. They could literally have name tags to say, "Hi, my name is so-and-so," and you have no idea who they were. And this guy is just literally just putting up wild numbers. And, I mean, the Texans are 4-4, you know? I mean, when the draft works, the draft works. And I know he's got the chip on his shoulder. He has to be the guy who was picked behind Bryce Young. And sometimes that chip on your shoulder can carry you a long way, man. And luckily for him, he ended up in Houston and not in Carolina.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he won that for sure, but I saw the final score, and I saw Houston scored 39 points. I'm thinking to myself, all right, maybe Tampa turned the ball over, you know, whatever happened. Baker made some mistakes, but Baker Mayfield played a hell of a game too. Like, I mean, the Texans just straight up blasted him in the second half. Especially in the fourth quarter. But I mean, Baker threw for almost 300 yards and 2 touchdowns, no turnovers. I mean, yeah.
One his fault.
What are you going to do? You know, I mean,
it's the Bucks defense. It's the Bucks. I could tell it was not the Bucks day when They had a backup running back make a field goal from 29 yards.
Yeah.
it's not the Bucks' day. Yeah.
And it's like Kevin mentioned earlier in the year, too. I think around like week three, you know, Tampa was playing well. And we're talking about their defense, but number one thing was they're a little bit older. And I think you're starting to see that now. Similar to like you saying with Buffalo, there's an older defense, man. When if you got to keep them on the field, it could be a liability. So, I mean, if you can control the clock and you can keep the game kind of dirty, kind of close, that's probably more beneficial for you. But you don't want to get in a shootout with that defense on the field because those guys are older, long in the tooth, all those sayings people say about them. But to get completely torched by a rookie quarterback like that, I didn't expect it to happen. I mean,
oh man,
kudos CJ Stroud, man. Kudos CJ.
As I've been seeing on Twitter, because I got a lot of Magic Bucks fans, it's a sad Buck life. Just to add one more point before we go, keep touching the CJ Stroud. Youngest player with 450 passing yards. He had a couple more accolades too in that game too, but shout out to him. Let's paint this into perspective, and I want to get your breakdown on this, Paul. So CJ Stroud has 14 touchdowns through 21 games. Kenny Pickett has 13 touchdowns. I had the games written down, but I forgot the number. So, but I know Kenny Pickett been the season, what, 2.5, what, 3 years?
Two years.
So, a year alone for CJ Stroud to have surpassed Kenny Pickett. What does this picture tell you, man? Just in regards to what CJ Stroud is doing. And I'm not trying to bash Kenny Pickett, but what's your thoughts about that, man?
I mean, in Kenny Pickett's defense, he is in a harder division. I mean, that division's tough. Now I know the AFC South, you know, aside from Jacksonville, there's some opportunities there to have some pretty big games. But yeah, this is Kenny Pickett, 13 touchdowns in 20 games started. So he started 20 games. He has 13 touchdowns, 13 interceptions.
Thanks for calling up on that.
And but yeah, then CJ Stroud's got 14 touchdowns, one pick in 8 games.
I mean, I know it's early, but it seems like, well, I mean, listen, quarterback is a hard position to draft. It just takes time. Maybe Kenny Pickett, you will get there eventually. Like I said, I'm not trying to rain on any Pittsburgh Steelers parade. I just saw that stat and was just wowed by it. Like, man, that's crazy. Paul, do put in perspective that he does play in the AFC North. So Browns got a good defense. Bengals usually have a good defense.
Baltimore
has a good defense.
Yeah.
So, listen, but as you mentioned, like who does CJ Stroud have around him? Kenny Pickett does have Pickens and Najee Harris, who's hit or miss sometimes running the ball. But, I mean, I would prefer Najee Harris over the running back you just said for the Texans. I'm blanking on his name. That's how I just forgot.
Devin Singletary?
Yeah. he played for the Bills. That's right.
Yeah, that's right.
So, I knew. That's why I was like, I don't watch much of the Texans. Not that I need to, but now I need to tune in because this guy's doing this to where a lot of people thought the bus would be at least competitive with Baker. Nah, man. It's just a quarterback position, man. You never know, man. And I know Bryce Young's getting a lot of heart for – it's the Carolina Panthers. There's not a lot of weapons around him. Miles Sanders, who they brought over from Philly, is hit or miss.
It's the irony of the fact that they traded their best wide receiver to draft a quarterback. It just doesn't make any sense. They let DJ Moore go off to Chicago, and now poor Bryce Young got nobody to throw the ball to.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah, it's Hubbard out in the backfield.
I mean, it's just wild to me, but CJ Stroud's must-see TV, man.
No, I'm definitely.
Some people just got it. Some people just got that swagger about him. And, you know, coming out of Ohio State, He didn't deal. I mean, he's not the biggest guy either. I mean, I know Bryce Young is a little guy compared to quarterback standards, but this dude just got a chip on his shoulder every week, and he's just, I just feel like every week he's just gonna go out there and it could be a difference of coaching too. Like, I mean, I don't know who the coaches are in Houston right now because they turn over so much, but
DeMarco Ryan is the coach.
Oh, D'Amico Ryan is the head coach, right?
D'Amico, so, yeah, star. Yeah,
good,
yeah.
Good head coach for a young quarterback. I mean, I don't know who the offensive coordinator is working, who the QB coaches are, but dude's a gamer, man. And there's nothing more to it. I know Kenny. Like, I know you compared him to Kenny Pickett, but Kenny Pickett's dealt with injuries. They kind of traded some guys. They drafted a big wide receiver for him to have to throw the ball to, but that's not really working out too well. Apparently, that guy like disassociated himself on Twitter with the Pittsburgh Steelers. George Pickens or whatever his name is.
George Pickens. Yeah, George.
Yeah. So I mean, it's weird. I mean, Steelers are having issues with their offensive coordinator, as we hear every single week. Matt Canada is whatever. But you just got to respect a rookie who comes in from game one and knows he's the guy. And there's no one behind him that can take his job. He can just go out there and play football. And that's how I think anyone's going to play well when that happens. I mean, when you know that you can just go out there and sling it and there's literally no repercussions to anything that you do and you got the freedom to just make plays and all that stuff. But, I mean, this is probably the greatest rookie season we've seen out of a quarterback ever.
Yeah.
And it's a guy that plays for the Houston Texans.
Yeah, definitely, definitely impressive. All right, I know you don't probably want to do this, but I got to ask, but I want you to assess your team performance, man. Well, and if you wanted to be short, it's fine. If you wanted to be short, it's fine.
Well, very easy. They stink. I mean, they got down a lot early. I was honestly surprised that, like, they were down, like, you know, 20 to nothing or 30 to nothing, whatever it was, 27-0. And I mean, the Raiders were still trying to score. And, you know, I was kind of confused because this game wasn't on TV here. So I was watching it. Daniel Jones was 4 for 9. And then next thing I knew, DeVito was in the game. I didn't realize what happened. And then I saw the reports that Daniel Jones took a little no contact knee injury and he's done for the year. So, like I say every week, Saquon's doing his part, and that guy just wants a contract, and that guy just wants to – clearly he still wants to play for the Giants because he is still playing every fucking snap.
Yeah.
You know, 90 yards rushing, 23 yards receiving. So, I mean, he has over 100 yards by himself. I mean, he's doing all he could possibly do. You know, they can't get Darren Waller the ball. So that was a waste of a trade. Guy didn't have any catches. He didn't even have a target. So they even look his way. And you know, DeVito had 2 picks. It was bad. It was bad from jump, man. But by the second drive, that game was doomed. So let the Raiders smoke their cigars and have their good time. They won a game. They're 4-5. They're still doing Raider things, but
like it's not a quality win.
And I will tell you though, their quarterback, Aiden O'Connell, I don't know where the hell he came from, but that man had a nice little debut. It helps when you have Josh Jacobs in the backfield.
Yeah,
but you know when you have guys that can pick up the slack for those kind of things. You know when you have a quarterback either making his debut or he's a rookie or something's happening, you have a running back who can carry the ball for 26 times for 100 yards, 2 touchdowns. I mean, that alone would have won him the game. Aiden O'Connell didn't have to throw the ball at all. Josh Jacobs beat the Giants by himself. He scored 14 points. Giants only scored 6. So I mean, it helps, but you know, this quarterback situation is a mess. I never once in my life thought I would actually wish for Tyrod Taylor to be my starting quarterback, but here we are. I think the Giants actually signed Matt Barkley to their practice squad, so I don't know what they're doing. I have no idea. I might have to go find Uncle Rico out up there from Napoleon Dynamite to play quarterback. But it is what it is, man. It's fine.
Yeah, man. I was sitting there watching the Raiders just celebrating in the locker room. I guess Max Crosby got more street cred than I thought he did.
Yeah, bro. Max Crosby. Max Crosby's different.
Yeah, man. They was over there. What was that? Money Bag? Yo, I don't know what they listened to, but it was vibing out. And I was like, yo, and he was leading the whole team. I was like, yo, what the?
Max Crosby built different, my man.
Oh yeah, man. Hey,
built different.
I can. He got seasoning on his chicken breasts, chicken wings, put hot sauce on the greens.
Oh yeah,
that type of brother. Got ham hocks on the greens too.
Oh yeah, he's eating all that ham hocks, pig's feet, whatever. He got it all. Oh yeah, big time. But it's just a shame because you watch this and you gave Daniel Jones all that money, and he had a neck injury earlier in the year, and now he just blew out his ACL. More than halfway through the season. So who knows what that recovery is going to be like. He won't be ready by the time the season starts next year. So you literally just threw a bag of money away. And he's a dynamic quarterback that could run and do different things. And with an ACL, he might not be the same guy. Because if he has to drop back and throw. Oh, don't
worry about that one, huh?
Oh man, yeah. So whatever, it is what it is, man. It's just poor decisions. You know, quarterback's always going to make the most money, and it's just a shame.
Gotcha. My team was on the bye; they won, so we'll move on.
Yeah, certainly didn't lose.
Yeah, we're still celebrating beating the Chiefs. So
there you go.
We'll move forward to the next question. I just want to see what Paul's short overall thoughts were in regards to his football team, but stressful times for Giants fans. And trust me, as my Bronco has been on a 2-game winning streak, I'm pretty sure I will be complaining about them sometime in the near future. So I'm just enjoying the ride. How about that?
I mean, I'm going to just go ahead and say, aside from the Carolina Panthers, the Giants might be the absolute worst team in football right now. And it hurts me to say that. And honestly, Carolina will probably beat us if we play Carolina.
Oh, man. No faith in the squad.
Hey. Not with Tommy DeVito as my quarterback. Not happening.
Nah. All right. Well, let's uplift this next segment and pick our player of the week. Who's invited to the barbecue, my man? We got a couple of good qualified candidates, and I'll go ahead and let you go first. Who's invited to the barbecue?
I wasn't sure who was going to be on the show today, and I knew whoever it was probably going to take the easy way out and go CJ Stroud. That guy needs a whole barbecue restaurant opened up in his name at this point. But I am going to take a guy from a team that I have been very critical of all year long. And it's Joshua Dobbs of the Minnesota Vikings.
Ooh, J. Dobbs.
This man came in. Was literally traded like 4 days ago. Used his NASA big brain aerospace engineering degree. Learned a whole playbook. And went 20 for 30 for $158, 2 touchdowns, no picks, and had 66 yards rushing.
Wow.
To bring the Vikings, who were losing that game, into the lead to beat the Atlanta Falcons 31-28. A team that... pretty sure the entire panel picked Atlanta. No one gave Minnesota a chance without Kirk Cousins in the game. So this is a team without Kirk Cousins, without Jordan Jefferson. They're rolling, man. They're 5-4. They're another one of those teams that, for as bad as they look at times, they're 5-4. So I'll be the first to say, while I feed Josh Dobbs all the barbecue he wants. At this point in time, I don't think the Vikings stink as bad as I thought they did. And I'm going to be a man. I'm going to be a man, and I'm going to just put my foot in my mouth, and I'm going to just take the high ground. I know it was the Atlanta Falcons. They're struggling a little bit. They played well, but Sometimes in football, it's getting hot at the right time. On paper, I don't know how the Vikings won this game, but, you know, this is like going into a new job. Like, you're getting a new job, you got a promotion, and it's your first day on the new job, and you haven't even so much as read the employee handbook, and someone's like, hey, man, you're in charge now. Go ahead and figure it out. And this guy did it, man. I mean, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Again, 11 guys with a reception. It's interesting because they started a different guy, Jaren Hall. He was 5 out of 6 for 78 yards. I think he got hurt, which is what forced Josh Dobbs into the game. Like, they weren't even planning on playing Josh Dobbs. They started a whole other guy.
Yeah.
And, you know, like he's done most of his career, he comes in and just steps up, man. And, you know, I respect it. Next man up mentality. You know, he went from a really bad team to a potential team that could make a run. So maybe that hyped him up a little bit, but learn an entire playbook and go into a whole new team in 4 days and taking the helm and leading your team to a victory is pretty damn impressive. So, Josh Dobbs, you're invited to the barbecue. I'm just going to give you like the dried food that comes in those little NASA space bags. maybe some of that like cookies and cream ice cream and whatever, but
yeah, man, I appreciate that.
I mean, he played in Tennessee too, so he's had his share of really good barbecue. So, you know, it's fine. Yeah. He'll probably eat whatever. He'll be all right. But kudos, Josh Dobbs. Kudos, Josh Dobbs. You love to see that. But yeah, go ahead.
I think we all could acknowledge what the thing that CJ Stroud has done. So, like, he does deserve to go to the barbecue, but it's all about diving deeper. It really is. I mean, I think a lot of the national media is paying love to CJ Stroud and the thing that he's doing. And you know what? Like, that would have been the easy way out, like Paul said. But I wanted to dive deeper on this one a little bit. I'm going to give some shout out to an undrafted rookie from East Carolina that played for the Ravens and came in due to injury. So, next man up mentality. Keaton Mitchell. I know he's going to be picked up on a lot of fantasy teams, waiver wire, all that stuff. Dude came in 138 yards, had a 40-yard rushing touchdown, one touchdown in the game, and a 60 breakaway run. So come on down here, man. Like, this is what, you know, opportunity is there for. We are paying homage to the guys that take advantage of the opportunity, and Keaton Mitchell did. You know, this is a team that feature, you know, I know they hurt right now, but, you know, J.K. Dobbs and Gus Edwards. And so Baltimore have a plethora of running backs. Now you have another problem, a good problem to have. And this dude showed his tail out and route to help for the blowout that the Ravens put on this team they beat. So shout out to Keaton Mitchell. What I'm going to make you, man, you can come on in, bro. I'm going to go ahead and put some ribs in the foil. Make sure I had that Sweet Baby Ray's barbecue sauce in it. Let it simmer and let it slow cook. Make sure it fall off the bone for you, Playboy. You know, man, he's saying, you know, I'm going to make sure you get some potato salad with that as well. And some pork and beans, man, with a sweet Hawaiian roll. And, you know, if you want to invite CJ Stroud for the game he had too, y'all can share the plate. So, no, kudos to both of the guys that we mentioned, Joshua Dobbs and Keaton Mitchell and CJ Stroud, which I'm sure we would have had another panel on here would have chose him, but they all very deserving. Had one hell of a week. All three of them did. And that was cool to see these two guys here. So,
but see, these are the things that make things interesting with the NFL, right? Is you can take an undrafted rookie, throw him into an offense, 9 carries, 138 yards. And these are the situations that make you wonder if these are the things that diminish the running back position as far as guys getting big contracts, is that you can find these guys and you hope it's sustainable, that he remains a pretty good weapon for them. And we saw with Devon Achan in Miami that he got hurt. But when you're able to have 2, 3, 4 guys be able to run the ball, it really scares you as to what the running back market can become going forward, because you don't have to rely upon one guy to, so good for him, but like you do want to kind of see a big running back go down and then a team kind of struggle to find a replacement. The fact that you could just slide guys in is a little scary.
It is.
But again, it's all about longevity and track record and who does what. But I mean, I don't think the Ravens are a team where they're really going to have one back anyway. I think this is just kind of their offense. One guy carries it 10 times, one guy carries it 9 times, one guy carries it 5 times. They're going to control the clock. They're going to play defense, and Lamar Jackson can do Lamar Jackson things, and he's going to control the clock with his arm, with his legs. So, you know, they're still going to have 8 to 10 design runs just for Lamar Jackson. So that's going to take carries away from any running back anyway. But it is crazy when you can find guys like this, not even in the draft. Guy was undrafted. Got picked up and had himself a day. So,
yeah, nah, for sure. I like to probably dive deeper into the future and see, you know, undrafted backs like kind of debut and see if it's just a lightning in the bottle or whatnot. That's something we can probably dive deep in the future, man, and take a look at that, because that is kind of like an interesting perspective to see where we're at. Going down that rabbit hole, see what kind of information we will get, for sure. All right. Let's go into our top five teams before we go into KC's weekly picks. So who is your top five teams, Mr. Mack?
I guess I'll start at one. It's easier. My head can't go backwards right now. One. Yeah, all right.
Go ahead. I can write my downs. Yeah.
Philly, obviously, one. I'm going to go Baltimore, two. I'll put Kansas City, three. Cincinnati at four, and another they had a bye that didn't play, but I'll put Detroit at five.
All right, number five for me is Jacksonville. Still think they're coming on. I want to see how they respond. I know they've been.
That's right. I forgot about Jacksonville. Well. They'll be my four. Jacksonville's four, yeah. And then I'll still put Detroit five.
Okay, Detroit is four for me. Kansas City's number three, number two is Philadelphia, and number one is Baltimore for me. I know we've been talking about Baltimore needing some big win, and they the way they handled this week was impressive, amidst of things that's going on with them in a competitive division. So see how they like going forward, but I'm definitely this is getting good now as far as like, you know, some of these teams are. You know, they're starting to separate some of themselves through the pack here. So we have to see how that goes for sure. All right, let's hop into KC's weekly picks. Week 10. Let me help you by pulling this up here. And then you got your screen up and I got mine's up. So I'll let you take it away, Mr. Mack.
All right, first things first, we'll recap last week. So, Mr. Cortez, you went 7-7.
Ooh,
ouch. I went 8-6, and Kevin and Saul both tied at 9-5.
Wow!
So, kudos to the guest pickers the last few weeks. They came in, they came out swinging here.
They did. Good job for them.
Kev's still staying hot though. That being said, the season rankings here: I am 78-57. You are 82-53, and Kev is 83-52.
Ooh, got me by one. Mm-hmm. I got some ground to make up.
That's it. So that's where we're at. Kev back in the lead.
All right. Good stuff.
So let me pull up Kev's picks here. He just sent them the other day. Mm-hmm. Here we go. All right, cool. So first game. This is another Germany game, I'm assuming.
This is – I forgot where they're playing at, but they're –
is it in Frankfurt? No, the Colts and Patriots are playing in Germany. I don't know where the hell these guys are playing. Oh, that's Thursday night. Okay, we're good. Thursday night in Chicago, the Carolina Panthers at Chicago Bears. solid Thursday night football game. Amazon clearly doesn't care.
Well – luckily, I probably tune in for like the first half of this game because I got to watch my Magic play in Mexico City at 9:30. So at least I got something to occupy me for the first hour. That being said, Bryce Young get his second win of the season. I'm going to Panthers.
Okay. I'm gonna take Chicago. I think Chicago is just the better team. DJ Moore going up against his old team. He'll probably have a nice big game. I'll take Chicago. And then Kev also rolled with Chicago.
Cool.
All right, next game. This is Frankfurt, Germany. We're really sending our best over there. The Indianapolis Colts and the New England Patriots.
Oh, this is lovely. At least this game playing in Germany. Pats a win.
I'm just gonna sleep through it. I don't care. I'll take the Colts.
Okay.
I think the Patriots stink. Kevin's going with New England.
Okay.
All right. First 1 o'clock game. Get to see what the Cleveland Browns are really made of. The 5-3 Browns at the 7-2 Baltimore Ravens.
The Browns got a really good defense, man. This would be an ugly game, but I think the Ravens will pull it out.
Yeah, I'm going to go Baltimore. Kevin's also going to go Baltimore. It'd be interesting, to see Lamar Jackson against a stout defense. Obviously, Baltimore has a overall defense tops in the league, too, so that's not mm-hmm. good for the Browns right now, but Baltimore.
Deshaun Watson may be close to returning.
I don't think it makes a difference, honestly. I think Baltimore still pulls away in that one.
Okay.
All right, here we go. All the C.J. Stroud talk. Here we go. The game of the podcast right here. We got C.J. Stroud and the Houston Texans at Cincinnati Bengals.
It's a good one. Bengals are rolling. I'm not picking against them. I got the Bengals.
Yeah, the Bengals have played against some good quarterbacks the last few weeks, and their defense has held their own. Yeah, man, it's hard to go against Joe Burrow right now. That team is rolling. I'm going to go ahead and take the Cincinnati Bengals as well. And then Kev also on the Cincinnati train too, so Cincinnati. Mm-hmm. Sweep across the board. Uh-oh, here we go. This is an interesting game. For those that saw the post a couple weeks ago, where I shared some stats of two particular quarterbacks that, one, everybody was talking about them, and one kind of nobody's really talking about, and their numbers are almost absolutely identical. It's going to be Brock Purdy and the San Francisco 49ers at Trevor Lawrence and the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Jacksonville's weird sometimes, man. They should win this game. I know there's been a lot of talk about the 49ers struggling. And they want to get back on track. They need to win this game. I'm going to 49ers.
This is one of those games where we can see Trevor Lawrence kind of make a statement a little bit. Going up against a Brock Purdy, a guy who got all the praise the first, 4 weeks of the season. People putting him up there as an elite quarterback in the league. And his numbers aren't much different than Trevor Lawrence's. Trevor Lawrence is just managing the game and not making mistakes and doing what he has to do and all that stuff. But they're very similar guys, statistic-wise. But Jacksonville's kind of rolling right now, so I'm gonna take Jacksonville at home. And then we clearly know who Kevin's taking. So
yeah, we know what Kevin's taking.
Kevin's going to Jacksonville. All right, the next 1 o'clock game, the 5-4 New Orleans Saints at the 5-4 Minnesota Vikings.
Saints versus Vikings. It's interesting game too.
Mm-hmm.
Saints has been hit or miss. Vikings at home. It's going to be closer. This is going to be a close game, but I'm going with the Saints.
I'm going to roll with Minnesota. I bet against them all year long. I'm going to take Minnesota at home.
Who's Kevin tie-breaking?
Kevin is going with the New Orleans Saints.
Mm. All right.
All right. Next 1 o'clock game, the Green Bay Packers, who showed up last week.
Yeah, finally.
We didn't even talk about that. They put a thumping on the Rams. At the 5-3 Pittsburgh Steelers. The fact that Pittsburgh's 5-3 is wild.
They're winning some games, man. I'm just trying to figure out. The thing is, too, they're scoring, or the yards or their gain is less than some of the teams they're beating, and they're still beating these teams.
Yeah, they're not playing pretty football, that's for sure.
Jordan Love, turning the ball. Kenny Pickett at least kind of manages the game better than Jordan Love. Steelers got a better defense. I'm going to Steelers.
I'm trying to think who has the better team.
I know there's a lot of disarray with the picking situation and stuff like that, but Packers has been kind of up and down.
Yeah, I'm gonna take Pittsburgh. I don't trust Jordan Love. He seems to have a decent game and then three or four bad ones and then a decent one. Yeah, I'm gonna go Pittsburgh. Kevin also went with Pittsburgh, so Pittsburgh across the board.
Okay.
Next, the Tennessee Titans at Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Talk about a game that doesn't matter.
Buccaneers are pissed. I think my Evans go off. It's a Bucs life. Bucs will win this game.
There's rumors around the internet that Bill Belichick might call it after this year, and that they potentially are looking at Mike Vrabel to replace him. So
some distractions, huh?
Yeah. I mean, I don't think it matters. The team, seeing what CJ Stroud just did to that team. Interesting to see what Will Levis can do. I'm gonna take Tennessee. Will Levis can do against that defense. But Derrick Henry running the ball. I think they got some good stuff there. I mean, Tennessee almost beat Pittsburgh last week. It was a close one.
They just had something on one of my Buccaneer friends share somewhere. James D, as pass rating against him as a DB was 158.3. So it seemed like if you just throw it up in the air against him, someone's going to catch it. So,
yeah. So just put Hopkins out there and just let Will Levis throw it up to him all game long. It'll be all right. So, and then Kevin obviously is taking Tampa Bay because he absolutely hates the Titans.
He doesn't like Titans. Yeah.
Yeah. Man, these games are rough. The Atlanta Falcons at Arizona Cardinals.
Ooh, man. This is a stinker. Falcons will win.
Yeah. It's Atlanta's game to lose. I don't even know who the starting quarterback is for. I still haven't figured out since last week who the quarterback is going to be for Arizona. I haven't a clue. So it's probably Shane Falco.
I'm blanking. I saw the name, but I'm blanking.
Yeah. So it's Atlanta. I'm going to go with Atlanta.
All right.
This could be a decent one here. Let's see. The Detroit Lions at the Los Angeles Chargers.
Ooh. Should be a good one.
Although, if the Chargers play how they played last night, who knows? That team didn't play great. Just the Jets played way worse.
The Chargers are just mad confusing, which I'm okay with. Don't get me wrong. I don't too much care for the Chargers, but they're confusing. They should be better than what they are. Lions usually kind of – these games have been interesting between them sometimes. They find ways to win some of these, but they be close. I got Lions, though. I think Lions pull it out. Lions get the dub.
Yeah, I'm all in on the Detroit train. You've converted me to the – I'm gonna be a Detroit hat like you the other day. I'm gonna rock that thing. I can only imagine the speeches Dan Campbell gave that team coming off a bye week. So they're ready to go. They're ready to bite some ankles and eat some kneecaps and all that stuff. I think they're gonna come out and they're gonna make a statement. I think Detroit wins big. I don't even think it's close. So I'm gonna take Detroit. Kevin also takes Detroit. So sorry, Chargers.
Mm-hmm.
Next game. Oh, fuck. New York Giants at Dallas Cowboys.
Cowboys.
Yeah, no doubt. Fuck Dallas, but they're still gonna win.
I know you hate to say that name, but yeah.
Tommy DeVito's in big trouble. He's gonna get sacked a lot. That's not good. Yeah, and Kevin also picked Dallas, so we can just skip over that one. That's fine. Commanders at Seahawks.
Boy, talk about Seahawks struggling last week, huh? That was a surprise.
Yeah, but this is the kind of game you want to get after that, though.
Yeah, Geno bounce back. Seahawks will bounce back. Commanders, they done trail out their defensive pieces, so their running game should be back on point here.
Yeah, I think Seattle's just a team where they got down early against Baltimore, and they're not built for that. They have to get Kenneth Walker going. They got to run the ball. They got to do some things. And if you get a jump on them like Baltimore did, Seattle's in trouble. But that shouldn't happen against the Commanders. So I'm gonna go with Seattle.
Yeah.
And then Kev is also taking Seattle. And dude, who are the Raiders paying for all these primetime games? What are we? What the hell, man? I mean, they're really putting the Raiders on TV.
Well, I guess they're trying to promote Las Vegas, huh?
Jeez. I mean, home of the Super Bowl, but also I'm assuming that they assumed this was going to have Aaron Rodgers in it, so they were whatever. But instead, we get Zach Wilson versus Aiden O'Connell.
Man, this is
not nearly as great, but hey.
Would rather watch paint dry than watch this game.
I'd rather watch Power Slap.
I will be watching NBA League Pass during this game. I catch the highlights. Nonetheless, Jets win.
Yeah. I'm just because of the defense. I think if the game stays close, the Jets can make it happen. Breece Hall is playing really, really well. Zach Wilson just needs to not make a mistake. I think they'll be okay. I think it'll be a close one. I don't think it's going to be anything too pretty or, exciting, but I'm going to go with the New York Jets. And then Kev is going to also take the Jets.
Clean sweep.
Monday Night Football.
Dun, 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 dun.
Here it is. Your boy's coming off a bye. The Denver Broncos at the Buffalo Bills.
Trying to be cautiously optimistic with this one. Cautiously optimistic just because we just saw the Bills struggle last week. Josh Allen is still making some questionable decisions sometimes. Defense looking steps. So we mentioned the podcast. Denver somehow beat the Chiefs in a tough contest. Their defense really coming along. I'm not buying it yet. I don't think they win this week, but I think they start winning games the following week. Oh, it pains me to say this. I'm sorry, Broncos country, but I just want to set myself up for success. That way I won't get too high like a homer. They're playing in Buffalo. Buffalo's a tough place to play. Broncos lose in a close one.
Close one, huh?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm just going to take Buffalo. I just think Buffalo, with Miami losing, Miami's got a bye. This is Buffalo's chance to kind of still stay within a game. This is a big game for Buffalo. They can't really afford to lose this game. I'm going to take Buffalo. And then Kev also takes Buffalo for the clean sweep. Sorry, Bronco country.
Guess we're not riding.
Not today.
No. So let's clear this bad boy here and go back. Paul, talk to me, man. The in-season NBA tournament has started, and I want to get your opinion about the courts and the jerseys. Have you seen some of these courts and jerseys?
I've seen the Magic posted a picture, I think, of their court. Seems cool. I mean, I didn't know this was a thing. I guess it's more money for the league. It ends with a little championship game in Las Vegas, and team that wins gets a bunch of money or something.
Well, I mean, it's $500,000 per player. So someone like LeBron James, that's just a rainy day fund money. But someone who's like a Kevon Harris, who's like G League player, that's on our roster. That's a lot of money for him. But go ahead, make your point. Yeah. I'm sorry.
But I mean, you know, it's a cool concept. I mean, I don't know if this is one of those things where it's. I know they're making that push against, you know, resting guys and load management and all that kind of stuff. But I think having these little things in the middle in the, it's weird that it's so early in the season. Like we're only 2 weeks in. And, you know, there's a lot of teams that are still figuring stuff out. Like I watched the Bucks play the other day and, you know, they look great opening night, but they're still trying to figure things out. So it's a weird time to have a tournament. I think when you have some teams still kind of figuring it out, because I mean, all 30 teams are eligible for this thing and they're playing, there's groups and it's a whole deal, but I mean, whatever. It more money for the NBA, I guess. But
so let me kind of show you this right quick, man. Cause I watched some of these games and some of these courts are actually horrendous. Let me see if I can share the screen here because I want you to see how bad some of these courts are. And just try and imagine watching the game. If you try to watch a game during some of these courts, like Chicago Bulls court was bad. The Miami Heat court was bad. So give me a second. I'm pulling up a... I want you to see this, and then you tell me, like, yo, like, this is just, nope, come on, add to it. So let me show this. Work with me, StreamYard. But I want you to see this, and people that's listening to, I want y'all to see this court if you haven't already.
Oh, my God. What
the hell is that?
Why is it all red?
Yeah. Yeah. So
that looks like when someone like creates their court in 2K and they have no idea what they're doing. Oh, man.
So they have one for OKC was like the blue was so freaking bright. It was that like just try. I get the whole concept trying to put the titles near the free throw lines and then the title in the middle. But just that dark red to red, and it's, dude, it was so bad on the eyes trying to watch some of these games. At least the Magic court is not bad. You know what I'm saying? Like, the gray kind of helps.
Yeah, but yeah, yeah.
When I was watching that Bulls game, I was like, what the freak is that, man? So, listen, for the most part, the first bunch of games, only one game wasn't competitive. I just feel like it was just a regular NBA season game to me. Just more of I totally get what they're trying to do. They're trying something new. I'm fine with it. They're trying to get more engagement at the beginning of the season. I'm all for it. We'll see where it goes. I know a lot of people are very critical of it, including Mr. Carter. We had our discussion before the show about it. He's very hard on it. We'll see where it goes, man. Like, so far, it's been good games. Orlando plays their in-season tournament game next week against Toronto. Or no, not next week, the following week. And I'll be going to that game. So we'll see how it works out for sure. But I just wanted to show, because I know you saw the Magic court, but some of these other courts, they're brutal, yeah, man.
I'm telling you, it's literally like the 2K create a court. It's literally like the court editor, and someone's just throwing colors at the wood. That's a lot of red. It's a lot of red.
Yeah, man. It's close on Jason Tatum. Jason Tatum. I want to say it was a Saturday, one of the days on the weekends, but he's one of the youngest players to reach 10,000 points, or he was for the Celtics, but he did have his feet, 10th youngest player that a list that includes names of LeBron James, Kevin Durant, Carmelo Anthony, Kobe Bryant, Tracy McGrady, just to name a few. I think Young's also on that list as well. Talk about him, what you see in him, what you've been watching with him in the last few years. What does Boston team look like so far? I know they lost a tough game last night to the Timberwolves, but talk about this Boston team and the makeup of Jason Tatum, man.
I mean, he's clearly the franchise guy, right? So, and the NBA is a different game. Like, I watch some of these games, and I look at some of the field goal attempts that people take, and just like some of it's crazy. And I mean, it's a shooter's league. He's long. He has a pretty decent outside shot on him. He can get to the hoop. Good free throw shooter. I mean, he has all the tools to be a guy that could score points. Mm-hmm. But I just think the more that I've watched Celtics games, I think they made a mistake. I think Jaylen Brown is going to hurt Jason Tatum more than help him. And that could be kind of a problem. That guy just makes a lot of bonehead plays, a lot of turnovers. He needs a chunk of shots too. Jason Tatum could score points quick. Like, he doesn't even need a lot of shots to get points, which is pretty remarkable in today's NBA. He doesn't need to shoot 30 shots. But, you know, I think Boston's Boston. I think everybody made a big deal. They lost Marcus Smart. That was going to hurt him a little bit defensively. Kind of take some of that kind of, you know, swagger away from them, because he was a guy that kind of was a lockdown guy, good locker room guy, good team guy. But, I mean, it's a scorer's league. If you can score, you're going to be in a lot of games. Good for him. But I don't watch enough Celtics games to be following him to know anything other than that. I know he could score points in a hurry. He could put up points. Hell of a basketball player. But Boston really only cares if you win championships, I think. So is all those points going to get them a championship? Who knows? But the guy has all the tools. And he's not afraid to guard the best guy on the other team either. He's always up for a challenge. And it's interesting because you don't see a lot of guys like that. But 10,000 points, a lot of points. And he hasn't been in the league that long.
Yeah, only 25 years old, and it was very impressive to see him go through that feat. He passed Antoine Walker, who was the youngest Boston Celtics player to score 10,000 points in his career. So
Antoine Jason Walker. Tatum,
yeah, throw that name out there for you. Yeah, Antoine Walker. Yeah, it should be. But, no, so, like, this Boston team is starting off the season very well. Been a lot. Most of their games are blew out. People that they're supposed to blow out. They're in the East, and they're a reason they're a class of the East, than Milwaukee. So I think for sure, like, they're definitely going to be definitely in the running with them. The only thing I really worry about is just the size. All the guys, Chris Porzingis and Al Horford, they need to get some more guys to help rebound. I get where you're coming from with the whole Jaylen Brown thing. Both of them need the balls in their hands, and Jaylen Brown is – dribbling skills has kind of been, the farther you get into the season, into the playoffs, it's kind of good to trap him, to make him go. If you make him go left, he's susceptible to turnovers. They have a good start. I watched that. I got back from the on the summer watching the Timberwolves and the Celtics game, and it was a good game, man. It was down to the wire. Anthony Edwards just took over. So, listen, you're just going to catch some of these teams. They got a lot of length. And Minnesota's like a top-five defensive team right now. So, if you got a lot of size and put up against Boston, you got a good chance to kind of bottom a little bit. But kudos to Jason Tatum. He's got a hell of a career ahead of him. And they're a championship contender to be taken seriously. So, we'll be tracking them. I got some annoying Boston Celtics fan that's been in my ear the whole – even for the past 2, it had been my ear, so I can't wait to run into a few of these guys and be like, hey. But that's the thing about NBA. NBA is great. We don't have no more undefeated teams. Just parody all out the wazoo. Toronto came back, and they came back from beat the Spurs. Who was it, man? Someone just beat the team by 30. The Lakers are on a 2-game losing streak coming down to Florida and losing 2 games here, so.
The Knicks beat the Clippers yesterday.
Yeah. Y'all had a James Harden debut, and y'all put it on them. So the Knicks came out with an impressive win against the Clippers. So the NBA is just at an all-time high with parity. And instead of having these – this is what makes it fun for me, because I hate – everybody – well, don't you like – no, nobody like the one dominant team. That's boring. No, I want it to be a storyline. I want all teams to be competitive, and you walk into an arena not knowing what to expect. I didn't expect the Knicks to beat the Clippers with James Harden, you know, debuting, like, what y'all did. Julius Randle got hot. That dude was – I know there's been a lot of criticism with him the past couple of weeks, but he got hot. He went off on him. Mm-hmm. So, Good thing about
the Magic are, I said, I kind of stopped watching in the third quarter, but the Magic were playing really well until that third quarter against Dallas, and I thought myself like, wow, they're up double digits against the Mavericks.
Yeah, no, they play well, man. They just the third quarter usual things, but. Nonetheless, I don't want to make an excuse that they're injured because, listen, Luka and Kyrie Irving play with injuries, so, and they still smacked us pretty good. So, it's just on to the next one. You got the Hawks in Mexico City, which me and Paul talked about earlier. I don't know why they're going to Mexico City, but they are. but nonetheless, I think we're good hands here. All right, man, let's wrap this bad boy up. You got anything else, Paul? I think we're good here.
No, man, I'm good.
All right, guys. Well, let's close this bad boy. Well, guys, make sure to stay tuned. Well, I would say me, but I'll be out of town next week, and I got two Magic home games the following week on Tuesday and Wednesday. So Mr. Mac will be running the show. I help him with the editing and everything like that after he gets done for the most part. But I'm excited to see who's going to be his guest and see how he runs it, and we'll see what happens. But they'll be running the show in the next few weeks.
Next man up, baby. Next man up.
That's right. That's a next man up mentality.
That's it.
My nephew's playing D1 basketball in Missouri State. He's going to a tournament in St. Louis. So I'm excited to go to St. Louis and see the Arc. I think I'm going to go tour that. So I'm pretty excited about that. I think you can ride up in it, too. So that's going to be pretty cool.
Can you get some of that barbecue?
Oh, absolutely. I'm trying to look up the best barbecue choice now, man. So, super excited about that. It's supposed to be, I think, low is going to be 40 degrees. High is going to be 60. So, won't be too bad. But
you'll be all right.
We'll see what happens. Yeah, I'll be fine. But nonetheless, Paul, take over. I'm excited to see what he does. He does a fantastic job. And all the content that he delivers here. So, not worried one bit. You can follow the podcast at BIOC Podcast on Twitter or X, whatever you call it. Paul, where can find you on Twitter?
At @the_Paul_Mac on Twitter and thePaulMac520 on Instagram. And then everywhere he's about to tell you right down here.
Absolutely. So you can find me at @EndomonaCP on X. Also, you can find us at our YouTube channel is at BIOC Podcast. Our Instagram is at BIOC Podcast. Our TikTok is also at BIOC Podcast. Facebook, you can find us at Balls Not Court Podcast there. Anchor, which is just Anchor, and Spotify, which would be anchor.fm/Cortez-Paul. So, yeah, you can also find us on iTunes, TuneIn Radio, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, Sprinkle, Speaker, Windows, Anchor.
Anywhere Spotify. You get your podcast, anywhere you can get a podcast, we out here.
There we go. We out here on these streets. So, mm-hmm. Nonetheless. And also, you want to support the podcast, make sure you go to buymeacoffee.com/BIOC podcast. So, all right. I think we're good here. For Mr. Paul Mac, this is Cortez Paul, Balls Not Court Podcast. Godspeed, ladies and gentlemen. Get some football and basketball and hockey and whatever you watch on going on. College basketball, something. Too.
The Orlando City team is up 1-0 right now. They're doing big things. Orlando City, let's ride.
Let's go. Let's ride. All right, guys. Take care. Thanks for listening.